Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. James, the man commonly referred to as Barack Obama, bombs his seventh country in 6 years. We begin this week's New World Next Week with a story we only briefly spoke about last week, but now there's much more to discuss. Scottish referendum vote rigging claims spark calls for recount. This comes via The Guardian. By mid-afternoon this past Monday, the number of names on change.org had topped 87,000, and currently it sits over 92,000. Quote, "We, the undersigned, demand a revote of the Scottish referendum counted by impartial international parties," reads the petition, which goes on to cite countless evidences of fraud documented during last Thursday's poll on independence. At 38degrees.org.uk, a second petition had over 62,000 signatories. Investigate the vote counting procedures. Allow an independent recount of all votes. A page that holds a lot of comments, holds a lot of questions that people are asking. And even one of them notes, "I was a no voter and even I think this is rigged." At the time, the then First Minister of Scotland, Alex Salmond, may have called on his supporters to accept the democratic verdict of the people of Scotland last Friday, but for significant numbers of people, accepting that the poll was fair and its result a rejection of independence has proved impossible. On Twitter, YouTube, blog posts, Facebook, skeptics have been amassing what they believe is evidence that the referendum was rigged and its result, therefore, illegitimate. Many refer to a snippet of video in which a counting officer at the Dundee polling station appears to lift votes from a yes pile and place them under no. Another widely circulated photograph, again from the Dundee count, appears to show a yes vote bundled with others sitting in the no pile. And we'll give you, of course, always links, always more research for you to go do on your own. But James, what have there been any kind of reactions or repudiations of this? Does it look like this was rigged?
I haven't seen any sort of mainstream reaction to this or acknowledgement of this fact or any sort of acknowledgement or reaction from any of the political stooges there in Westminster or in Holyrood. So who knows? I have no idea if they're ever going to respond to this. And as an anarchist, I suppose I will refrain from saying I told you so, because I take absolutely no delight whatsoever in the fact that yet another time of people rising in a spirit of independence have been quashed by the machinery of the status quo by simple vote fraud. It's happened many times before. It will happen many times again, as long as people have been trained like hamsters to go to a voting booth and pull a lever and expect that that's how they're going to gain independence. I would instead insert the observation that the oft-quoted Emma Goldman observation that if voting changed anything, they'd make it illegal. And also invite people to use this rather than an opportunity. Well, hey, I'm not Scottish, so you guys in Scotland do what you feel you gotta do, but maybe use this as an opportunity to reflect rather than on rushing to sign another petition to ask the dear leaders to please allow you to vote again. Perhaps we can step back and reflect on this clear and obvious vote fraud that took place. All of the clear and 100% undeniable video proof of which is online, and which obviously we'll be showing on screen here. But let's use this moment to reflect on why it is that we think that we have to get some sort of 50% plus one majority in the first place in order to gain our independence from anything. And then what kind of independence that was going to be anyway under Mr. Alex pro-EU, pro-royalty, pro-NATO, pro-British pound Salmond. What kind of independence was Scotland going to have under that at any rate? Not a lot, if any at all, other than the nominal independence that that comes with saying that we are a free nation. Ooh, wow. One nation under Salmond. Again, I think there are a lot more deeper underlying issues here, and I hope that the Scottish people are cognizant of those issues and dealing with them, rather than rushing off to join the next petition wave to ask for some more crumbs from the master's table. I think there's an entirely different concept of independence that everyone on the planet should be sharing, and that is the concept of individual liberty that happens in our own lives and in our own minds, and it is something that we take for ourselves on a daily basis through the actions that we take, the things that we purchase, the people that we associate with. Those are the ways that we actually build real independence. So let's start thinking about that rather than thinking about the next way that we can gain some sort of vote to get some sort of piece of paper that will say that we are independent in some abstract way that doesn't actually amount to anything in our daily lives.
James, let's switch gears with our second story. And in some way, I think I do take glee in a bit of this. Caught again, cocaine and cannabis haul hidden in Vatican car seized by French police. This comes from The Independent. Two men detained by French police after 4 kilos of coke and cannabis discovered hidden inside an official Vatican car with diplomatic plates. French radio network RTL said the vehicle, which belonged to Argentinian Cardinal Jorge Mejia, had gone to be serviced a few days before it was stopped. The retired 91-year-old librarian emeritus is currently bedridden following a heart attack. Two Italian men, 30 and 41, believed to have picked up the car and driven it to Spain, where they allegedly collected 4 kilos of coke and between 150 and 200 grams of cannabis. The pair then reportedly drove back to France with the haul stashed in the car, apparently convinced the diplomatic plates would protect them from being searched at the border. Customs officials, however, stopped the car during a routine check as it traveled through Chambéry near the border with Switzerland and Italy on Sunday, where they discovered the illegal stockpile. Police in Lyon have opened an investigation into the incident. In a statement, the Holy See confirmed one of its vehicles was stopped by French customs officers with drugs on board, but it stressed that no staff were directly involved. James, we can include just reams of related stories, and I know we've covered this multiple times here on New World Next Week. I think for me, it never gets old pointing out that our benevolent supposed leaders are complete criminals and do the exact same things that they would lock all us up for. So we get this story from our good friend at GJ Salisbury on Twitter. And again, we'll always implore folks out there to submit stories to us using hashtag New World Next Week. James, along with this, former Vatican ambassador arrested over child sex abuse allegations. And also, Daniel Hopsicker is reporting that an alleged CIA plane is wrapped up in an Australian bust that happened actually back in July that had 35 kilos of heroin at an airport outside Sydney, and that it was allegedly a CIA plane. So whether we're talking about God's banker or talking about stories going down right now today, James, I think I always like to point out that these institutions are fundamentally corrupt.
Well, you would have no disagreement from me there, but allow me to go the other way with this main story, because it seems to me that this story that we're talking about with this kilo, the kilos of cocaine in the Vatican car, it seems like there's a couple of stories that are going on here. One is that there's this 91-year-old librarian emeritus who probably didn't have anything to do with this incident. I assume it's more to do with the 30 and 41-year-old who were actually busted there. And that, to me, would indicate that there are people around this aging, decrepit, probably halfway out of his mind, librarian who are taking advantage of these Vatican diplomatic plates and believing they could get away with transporting anything in a car like that. It doesn't necessarily have anything whatsoever to do with the Vatican or its position. It's just that, hey, we have these plates, so let's see if we can get away with it. That's one interpretation of that. Again, I'm not Catholic. I'm not making any excuses for the Catholic Church and all of the things it gets into, including the child sex abuse that you note there. But in this particular case, I'm not sure it's much more than a tempest in a teapot, unless I'm missing some part of that story. But when a CIA plane goes down or gets busted with dozens of kilos of heroin, as happens every couple of years, at least as makes into the headlines every couple of years, I think that is significant and is obviously a reflection of the fact that the CIA really does bring in the cocaine, the heroin, and all the other illicit drugs that they would bust you for, exactly as they always have.
So, James, I think having said that, we'll move to our third and final story this week, which again kind of shifts gears. I think it is kind of a mixed bag. But again, I think that's what we try and do here on New World Next Week is give you stories that you're probably not going to get in a lot of other forms. Our third story, and we'll take the headline from The New York Times, even though we could take it from Natural News or crazy food hippies that watch this kind of stuff. But let's just take it from The New York Times. Altered to withstand herbicide, Dow's chemical corn and soybeans. Oh, I added the word chemical, sorry. corn and soybeans gain approval. The Agricultural Department has approved the commercial planting of corn and soybeans genetically engineered to survive being sprayed by the herbicide known as 2,4-D, according to documents posted on a federal regulatory website, just sort of dumped and hidden. Some corn and soybean growers have been pushing for approval, saying the new crops would give them a sorely needed new tool to fight rapidly spreading weeds that can no longer be killed by Roundup, known generically as glyphosate, the usual herbicide of choice. But critics say that cultivation of the crops, which were developed by Dow AgroSciences, will mean a sharp increase in the spraying of 2,4-D, a chemical they say would be more damaging to the environment, nearby non-engineered crops, and possibly human health than Roundup. With this approval comes millions of more pounds of toxic herbicides dumped onto our land, and it's an unacceptable outcome, said Andrew Kimbrell, executive director of the Center for Food Safety. I've had the pleasure of interviewing his son, George Kimbrell, also of the Center for Food Safety for Food World Order. He hinted that the organization might file a lawsuit to try and reverse the decision as it's done with other rulings related to GE crops. This is the part worth noting. The chemical 2,4-D was one component of Agent Orange, a defoliant used in the Vietnam War that has been linked to various health problems. But experts say the health effects were caused mainly by some other ingredient in Agent Orange. The EPA has declined to remove 2,4-D from the market on health and safety grounds. The chemical is the nation's third most widely used herbicide behind glyphosate and atrazine. And it's also used in many home lawn care products, this according to the Ag Department. James, the circular logic of a lot of this is the way I think the fraud of GMO crops and the elimination of pesticides in the same way, to make a bizarre comparison, its very nature, just like the banking industry, exposes its fraud every day as you look at it, as it doesn't even live up to the lies it claims to be able to bring. Monsanto says we'll bring you GMO crops, it'll mean less pesticides. It's been the exact opposite. It's only meant a massive increase of pesticides. So we will give links to Center for Food Safety and Food and Water Watch. James, even guys like Dr. Oz, who's essentially a TV doctor, his last episode was dedicated to warning about this newly approved 2,4-D, which is going to have the fancy name as Enlist Duo from, again, our good friends at Dow Chemical. He's actually even started a petition, and it has half the amount of signatures that it needs to where Barry Satoro, if it hits 100,000, would have to actually tell folks that he really doesn't care about you, and that's why he's stacked the FDA with his buddies and lawyers from Monsanto and the genetically modified industry. James, there's a slew of other headlines that I can run down, but I'll just throw it back to you as we see, again, just the lies of the food world order being exposed again.
This is the frustrating part of following these GM stories, because it is lie after lie after lie after lie at the very heart of this story and the very supposed reasons that these GM crops are being brought in the first place. It's going to reduce pesticide use. It actually increases pesticide use. It's going to reduce hunger. It actually feeds less people. It's going to be safer, but we test it ourselves and don't allow anyone else to. Just every single thing that they bring out here is a complete lie. And if you try to bring this to the attention of anyone who is inclined to believe whatever these companies are telling them, they'll just say, oh, you know, conspiracy theory. So it is exceptionally frustrating, but we have to document things like this, because it really is absolutely fundamental to what's going on. And I will just direct people's attention to the 5 GMO Myths Busted video that I put out last year that was quite popular at the time. And point number 4 in that list was GMOs reduce pesticide use, which noted that a 2012 paper concluded that the rise of glyphosate-resistant superweeds in the wake of the GMO revolution has actually increased pesticide use in the last 15 years by 183 million kilograms, or 7%. The study estimated that if new strains of GM corn and soybeans are approved for commercial use, which apparently they've been, herbicide use could increase by a whopping 50%. So that's what the trajectory that we're on, thanks to the wonderful people who are crusading for this wonderful new science that's going to save us and make everything better as it continues to destroy the environment. This is just a crime against humanity that is taking place under our nose, and yet, oddly enough, no one is marching on the streets of New York protesting this. I wonder what's happened to the environmental movement.
Well, it's been completely co-opted almost from, I think, its modern inception. And James, I think we would just have to note that even if folks aren't worried about GMOs, even if they believe the testing and they're not concerned about it, the testing is in for pesticides, and that is why our children have increased rates of ADHD and autism and a whole host of health problems that we haven't even fully shaken out yet. So the pesticide part, there's no debate about it. And that's what these GE crops are bringing, as we just noted, only more and more and more use of pesticides. So James, I just want to mention some of the other related headlines. As GMO grass seed looks like it's going to be approved for commercial use, which could mean pretty much the end of having the option of trying to get grass-fed beef. A bizarre story, pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline dumps live polio virus into Belgian water, and there is a press release from their health ministry. It's in French, unfortunately. Another one bites the dust as Annie's Homegrown sells out to General Mills, who are closing some of their plants to cut costs because, you know, they've accrued a lot of costs buying up their competition. Meanwhile, Pabst Blue Ribbon also sells out to a Russian beverage company called Oasis for $700 million. And James, as I was referring earlier, we couldn't do the show, I think, the way that we have been doing it for the last while without the amazing submissions from folks on Twitter using hashtag NewWorldNextWeek. A lot of the times, the episodes are pretty much built around the stories you guys submit to us. So a couple that aren't on the docket, but I'll just mention, thanks to folks like at Mamik and at Leprechaun1984, the mysterious Georgia Guidestones have a strange 2014 update that took place. And meanwhile, again, the man commonly referred to as Barack Obama claims there's an even scarier group than ISIS. They're called Khorasan, as, again, the Nobel Peace Laureate bombs his seventh country in 6 years. James, in closing, I would like to mention I finally have a new video up on my own YouTube channel, and it was the presentation I gave last month at the Olympia Sync Summit. And a huge thanks to all those guys in the Sync community for not only being there and being supportive, but also helping produce this video that I call Simpsons Syncs. So folks may know, Media Monarchy fans, I'm a longtime Simpsons fan, and I took the opportunity to analyze some of the strange things and synchronicities going on with their handheld video game, referring to the Stonecutters and even secret societies. So I just want to point folks out to that video. And again, thanks, James, for all the opportunities here.
And thank you for the video. I watched it front to back. I thought it was absolutely fascinating presentation. I hope people will check it out. And on that note, I think we'll leave things there till next week. Thank you again for your time, James.
Thank you.